Hello there, my horror homies. Welcome to another episode. I'm Liz, a lifelong horror fanatic looking to share all of my useless thoughts on all things spooky. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Let's jump into the scares. To open up this segment by saying Jason Voorhees is my boy. I'm gonna do my best trying not to be biased throughout this entire episode, but it may unintentionally show up. Because Jason will always, let's be honest, be superior to Freddy in every way. He would crush Freddy into laughing powder before he would come up with one of his clever one-liners. But again, I don't want this to be a shit on Freddy episode, so my goal is to be as fair as possible in today's examination of these two formidable opponents. Of course, in 2003 there was a campy horror flick release called Freddy vs. Jason, finally promising to bring to the silver screen an age-old question who would prevail in a battle between two horror giants. Sure, the cliché dialogue is physically painful, the character types were cut out of the latest issue of Teen Angst, and the acting is, shall we say, creative? But it all builds up to what the audience was waiting for, and it pays off. The movie knows what it is, and the matchup between the two heavyweights doesn't fall short of what you're expecting. But let's talk movie details later. The first thing you have to do in a fight is size up your opponents. So let's meet our first challenger, Freddy Krueger. Originally introduced as a serial child killer from Ohio, he kills his victims with a bladed leather glove. He is arrested but let go on a technicality, a story we've heard before. After the injustices to their families, the town people mob together and corner him in his home. They douse the building with gasoline and set it on fire with Molotov cocktails, killing Freddy inside. Little did the parents know, while his body died, his spirit lived on in the dreams of the teenagers living in town. With his death, he inherited the ability to enter your dreams and kill you, in pretty much any way you can imagine, because it's magical dreamland. Now, obviously, that's a pretty powerful ability. Everyone sleeps, even Jason, and once you're in dreamland, you're in his control. His weapon is still his leather glove with blades for fingers, but creativity is Freddy's strong suit. Enter Jason Voorhees, the iconic madman who haunts Camp Crystal Lake. He's an almost completely silent, undead, unstoppable murder tank. He is driven to slaughter anyone he encounters to avenge the death of his mother, Pamela Voorhees, who coincidentally is the killer of the first film. Jason has killed well over 200 on screen over the years. He was born at Crystal Lake with several facial deformities and mental disabilities. His mother raised him isolated from the community, where he learned to obey and never question his mother's orders. His extreme obedience would manifest in strange ways, including hearing and obeying his mother after her on-screen death. While Jason was a child at summer camp, he was ruthlessly bullied because of his physical appearance. They threw Jason into the lake, where he presumably drowned. The counselors that were supposed to be out watching were distracted by casual sex. Police comb the lake but are unable to locate Jason's body. No one is charged with his death, which incidentally drives Jason's mother to go on the murder spree in the first movie. His signature weapon is his bloodstained machete and his uncontainable thirst for murder. While the difference in stature between these two is quite staggering, they match pretty well in power. It seems we got a fight going here. The next step in betting on a fight is motive. The difference between Freddy and Jason's motive for blood is Freddy's killing for his own murder. He's out to torment and torture those that ended his life and anyone in their family. I can't really think of a stronger motive than avenging your own life, even if you are a total piece of shit child serial killer. Jason's motive is about avenging a loved one, his own mother to be specific. He views as being slain by some camp counselors. Her disembodied voice still commands him from the grave to kill for her, and that in and of itself is some pretty strong motivation. So let's cover some basics. Weapon against weapon. think hands down Machete wins. Blade fingers are certainly creepy and can deal some daunting damage, but one chop with a machete and those fingers are flying. Another chop and the whole hand is gone. Jason wins the basic weapons category. I think Jason also wins the size and weight category. By a lot. It's almost a David and Goliath story. But here comes the first instance I may have to step back and examine this matchup practically. Jason has the mind of a 5-year-old. That's just a fact in Jason's lore. On top of that, his mother's particular way of isolating him during his entire upbringing makes him prone to being manipulated. If you can manage to convince him you're his mother before he violently bisects you, you may live to tell the tale. All that being said, manipulation just happens to be one of Freddy's strong suits. Not even really including the whole Dreamland portion, Freddy likes to manipulate. He can very easily convince Jason not to kill him. He could convince Jason to do anything he wanted if he portrayed himself to be Jason's mother. I think if we're talking about technique, Freddy wins. The simplest way to break this down would be Freddy has brains, Jason has brawn. In the real world, brains would always triumph over brawn when the cards are played correctly. But let's travel back to 2003 for a moment, to a simpler time, where in this instance the brawn is a refrigerator-sized, bloodthirsty, undead serial killer. Since the dawn of time, Freddy and Jason have been quarreling over the same question. In a no-holes bar, who would triumph over the other? In 2003, we finally received one director's answer on the silver screen. Ronnie Yu took on the challenge as everyone held their breath in the theater. It would be no easy mountain to climb for many reasons. One of them being how to construct an engaging enough storyline to create a feature-length film, when the viewer is only there to watch the ultimate showdown. Other than giving them a reason to fight, I didn't much care what was happening in the movie and the subplots. It almost felt like I was waiting 60 minutes to watch my 30-minute battle. It wasn't necessarily a bad movie, it just couldn't live up to what we all knew was coming at the end. It's like putting the first 60 minutes of 2007 Prom Night on the end of Midsummer. They don't even really compare, and we're all just waiting for the end. The story goes, Freddy has lost much of his powers as the people in town are becoming less and less afraid of him. He enlists the help of Jason with a new killing spree. However, when the bloodthirst becomes too strong and Jason won't stop killing Freddy's intended victims, the two monsters start battling it out. So after our TED talk on Freddy vs. Jason practicality, let's jump into how the battle scene plays out in the movie. Several cliché teens have already been killed throughout the movie, but a few remain to be friendly fire victims in the final battle. The two demons find themselves at a construction site where Freddy uses the environment to gain the upper hand. He cuts off Jason's fingers, allowing Freddy to take his machete. As Freddy is slicing away at Jason, Lori, a stray teen, distracts him before Jason punches his fingerless hand through Freddy's torso. Freddy takes that really well, and plunges Jason's machete into his side. Jason doesn't react, because Jason never reacts, and rips Freddy's gloved arm off. Two teens set a nearby dock on fire, causing propane tanks to explode, throwing both Jason and Freddy into the lake. Freddy emerges from the water quickly and descends upon the two teens. He is about to kill them with Jason's machete, but is impaled through the middle by Jason with Freddy's own clawed arm. This allows one of the teens to steal all the glory and behead Freddy with the machete. Jason falls off the dock and Freddy's limbs sink into the lake, all seemingly dead. Both teens agree that was fucking nuts and leave. The following morning, Jason emerges from the water holding his glorious machete and Freddy's severed head for a trophy. Except Freddy winks and his laughter can be heard in the background. So really, if you think about it, Jason is kind of a homie. He could have just left Freddy down there in pieces, but instead he brought him to the surface where they can hang out together and continue to terrorize. It's kind of cute. I like to imagine Jason constructs a backpack for Freddy's head, so Jason can carry him around everywhere and Freddy can sort of become Jason's voice. They can join forces and form a super ghoul called Freyson, or Jetty. All in all, I give this movie 5 out of 11 machetes. Letting them both survive was both predictable and a cop-out. However, I very much enjoyed the battle scenes as a whole. We all know Jason would have won. Thank you guys all so much for your support. I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. I have lots of exciting things planned, and your support means everything. Please stay safe out there. Until next week, stay spooky.